the precious promises of God, part two. I brought this message Sunday morning. Boy, Rod, you got to get the tape of that. God, there was an anointing on that, I'm telling you. That we had, there was an anointing here Sunday morning. And I want to, there's a two or three more I just want to get. I thought the kids, there's still some children, that's good. You adults that have children, I prepared some stuff to slap at the kids. I thought the kids were going to be here again tonight. And so, what I give to you tonight, I want you to sit down with your children and go over it with them. Turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Glad you're here. Good to see each one of you. Good crowd for a Wednesday night. Freymeyers will be, I think they'll be back by Sunday. I think the Freymeyers will be back from Florida. They're coming back real soon. Notice what Simon Peter, notice verse 1, chapter 1, 2 Peter. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that obtain like precious faith, and faith in Jesus is precious, amen, with us through the righteousness of God, our Savior, seven letters, Jesus Christ. Grace, peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life, godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And here's verse 4. I use this for my text. Whereby are given unto us, look what's given to us, exceedingly, look at the scripture, exceedingly great. If I'd have been writing, I probably would have put tremendous. But I'm glad I didn't write it. God don't make any. Exceedingly great and precious what? Promises. And I preached to you that Sunday morning, and I felt God really came down and squeezed this church about the precious promises of God. And I'm going to just mention these I mentioned Sunday morning, and then I'm going to give you three more. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for these precious promises, and I just felt impressed again, Father, to continue on with this message. Lord, this is a message you could keep on preaching probably for two or three, four or five weeks. But Father, you told me not to stop, but to keep going. And so even for another Wednesday night, I'll continue this part two of the great, exceeding precious promises of God. Thank you for them, Father. And again, I hold Mary McDaniel up to you, Father. Reach down. I don't care what man says, God. You can do anything. God, touch her and make her completely well. Let her, Lord, I pray that you'll keep her here with us like you gave Hezekiah extra years. And then, Lord, I pray for Nancy. God, Lord Jesus, tomorrow I pray everything go perfect for Nancy, and that that the doctors will just have great wisdom, and you'll guide their hands and do all the surgery. And I pray that it'll be a successful surgery. And I pray in the future that her heart will function properly, and she would not have any more problems with that heart. Lord, just bless her and Billy. And Lord, just be with our people now. Heal Diane Robinson up, we pray. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Last Sunday, I shared with you some promises of God. I gave you number one, Titus 1:2, and hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. I said God promises us eternal life. How many glad he gives us promises eternal life? Number two, I told you God promises he will not cast anyone away who comes to him, John 6:37. Number three, I said God promises whosoever will may come. That's in John 3:15 and 16, Revelation 22:16 and 17. I said number four, God promises all sins will be forgiven if you'll just come to him, Hebrews 10:17, and your sins, your iniquities, I remember no more. I told you number five, that Jesus promises he will come back for us, John 14:1-3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And then I told you, number six, that God promises he will never forsake us. I'm very glad he never forsake us. Not only in this life, but in death and in the eternal life. I'm glad. He'll never leave us. Isn't that great? There's never a time that we're ever alone. Never. Isn't that exciting? There's never a time, no matter what stage we are in our life, there's never a time that we're alone. He promises us he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Number seven, I said that God promises to give us new bodies that will live forever, and I can't wait. I could use one today. Amen. How many could use a new body right now? I tell you. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 through 53 talks about how we're going to be, in the moment of a twinkling, we're going to be taken up. We're going to have given, this corruptible body must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. Man, I'm glad we're going to live forever. Amen. Then I said, number eight, God promises he will make a new heaven and new earth. He's going to. The heaven shall melt with fervent heat. 2 Peter 3, verse 10 through 13 says we look for these promises. 2 Peter 3, verse 10 through 13 says we look for these promises of a new heaven, new earth. Boy, I can't wait till we get a new heaven, new earth. Amen. And then number nine, I said that promises we're going to go to a place where there's no more sorrow, no more tears, and no more death. Can anyone say amen? Revelation 21:4, and God swipe all tears from their eyes, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more death, for the former things are passed away. And verse 5 says, write these things because these words are faithful and true. He stamped it. Amen? And so those are some great promises. Then I summed it all up because I said, and everything's predicated and everything's founded on, and the duration of all these promises, Rod, are founded on how long on the Word of God. And the Bible says the Word of God endureth forever. So all these promises are going to last forever. Amen? That was my final point. And I did mention this, but today I'm going to give you this to start out with, and then I got two other ones, at least two other ones. Today I want to pick up where I left off on Sunday morning. I want you to turn to Psalms 126. We had five people saved Sunday, two downstairs, two over there in the in Super Church, and Mickey Mouse Church had two, and with Sean and Nicole and them, and then we had one saved here in the auditorium. We baptized three. Look at Psalms 126, verse 5 and 6. Brother Bob and June, this is a verse they know well because they, for over 25 years, they served bearing precious seed. Notice in verse 126, verse 5 and 6, they that sow in tears shall what? Yeah. And he that goeth forth, that's the key, you got to go forth. How many want to see souls saved? They don't come to you. You got to go after them. He that goeth forth and weeping, bearing precious seed. Precious seed is the Word of God. Precious seed are gospel tracts because it has Word of God. Just like Johnny Appleseed putting plant. How many of you ever planted tomatoes or cucumbers or any? Well, you put those seeds in the ground and all of a sudden they start to come. They don't come up. They don't come up the same day, do they? No, it takes a while, and then they come up. By the way, do you ever notice a seed has to die before it lives? You know, we have to die before we live. Do you ever notice that? He that goeth forth and weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. God promises us if we go bearing precious seed, we will come again with rejoicing. He promises if we go and give out the Word of God to people, we will see results. And people will be saved. Yeah, I got thinking. I've been here almost 20 years now. On August 6th, 20 years. For 20 years, we've been planting seed in the little cities of Brennan, Streetsboro, and Windham, and Kent, and Garrettsville, and the surrounding areas. And I got thinking about, Brother Mark, I got thinking about that new church building. I really sense, Lizzie, I really sense we're very close to it now. I think we're on the brink of getting that building. I really do. And for 20 years, we planted seed. People know. I wish I could record every time. People stop to me in Giant Eagle and different places where I go. I have no idea who they are, but they know who I am. I have one guy at Giant Eagle. We must hit the same time all the time. Hey, preacher, how are you doing? Someday I'm going to ask him his name. I'm embarrassed. I don't know. I know he's nervous, but he knows me. People of Ravenna in this area are watching this church. For 20 years, Arlene, we've planted the seed. You watch when that new building goes up, how many people come. Don't be surprised if you see 200 or 300 saved within the first few months of the church there. Just remember I told you. I just think you're going to see it's not the building, by the way. It could be here. But I know about people. There's a lot of people just waiting to come. They're wanting to see what happens. People always like to go where God's working miracles. And miracles always draw a crowd. Did you ever notice that? And you're going to see all those years of planning and working and giving what that's going to do. God promises if we go after the souls of men, there will be a harvest day. Bethel Baptist, we've got a harvest day to look forward to. Amen? We need to be sower of God's holy word and expecting God to bless. And then let me give you number 11. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I'm talking to you about the promises of God. And God, you young people, I chose this for the young people. Ephesians chapter 6. I didn't know if we were going to have Becker Club tonight, and so I wanted to put something in here for the kids. But I think this is good for the adults too. Because if you have children, you can sit down and teach your children. Plus, I'm going to preach to adults a little bit over this too, so it's a dual thing. Notice in Ephesians 6:1, we're talking about the promises of God. You that have young children, tonight you need to set your kids down when you get them home, and you need to take them to this scripture and say, here's what preacher showed us in the Bible tonight. I want everyone that you have children that are not underneath the sound of my voice here, tonight you go take this and you show them to your children. I want your children to see this scripture. Look at Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. We're talking about the promises of God. Look at verse 3. You children that obey your parents, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. You kids want to live long? You want to live to be 90, 80, 100? You want to live long? Then you obey your parents and you honor your mom and dad. And God says if you children obey your mom and dad, if you honor your mom and dad, I'm going to let you live longer. And that is not the preacher's promise. That is the promise from God Almighty from His Holy Bible. Amen. Children, obey your parents that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. I'm going to tell you right now, obedient children live longer than rebellious children. Say that with me. Obedient children live longer than rebellious children. You ever know kids are just mean, ornery? You need to take it out of the seat of their affections. The Bible talks, don't listen to these idiots on the TV and these books that say not, what do they call that, time out? There ain't no time out. My dad didn't have time out. Time out? Brother Elmer, my dad would tell me one time, and then it was time in. I'm killing you, Rich. He only had to kill me once to make me understand. When he said something, I was like the Three Stooges. Buddy, I was moving. Take out the guard. Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm doing it right now. Like when you're in the sergeant's here, you know, you think of the sergeant, think of him, you think he's going to say, well, I'm going to wait till, I think I'll just wait till 5 o'clock later today or tomorrow and I'll do it. No, he's going to do it right now because his officer said, do it right now. Amen. And if the sergeant gives some private an order, Sergeant Kataira is saying, hey, do you hear me? Well, God's the drill sergeant. Don't get it. God says that children, God promises there in Ephesians 6 that children that obey their parents and honor, you know, I've always said yes sir, no sir. I've never called my dad the old guy, the old man, old lady, my mother. I'm going to tell you right now, when I've had people say, oh, my old man, my old lady. You know, that's so disrespectful. I love my mom and dad. I love them with all my heart. Someone say that to my mom and dad, I smack her in the face. That is so disrespectful. Oh, they don't mean nothing by it. Yeah, no, that's rebellion. I'm going to tell you right now, and even to this day, I get some of my ABL club, because I'll say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir. I grew up saying, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. You know, they say, why do you always say yes or no, sir? That's how I grew up. I wish more people would grow up like I did. I don't get too bad of a job. We need to teach our children how to respect the adults. Respect their parents. By the way, you young people that are here tonight, I see at least two. There might be a couple more that I'm not seeing. But God has placed your parents to watch over you. And they're taking God's place as far as they're standing in God's stead. So you better obey them, because when you disobey them, you're disobeying God. Because that's who they placed as your authority in your life. God puts different people as authorities in our life. And when we go against those authorities that God places, then we get judgment. How many are still with me? I want you to look at some scripture with me. Look at Proverbs. Look at Proverbs with me. Book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1. Let's see here. Psalms and Proverbs. Look at Proverbs 1:33. I'm going to read in three different, chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3, so you might as well turn to Proverbs, because I got three scriptures there. Then I'm going to go to Psalms, and then I'm going to go to Deuteronomy, so you might as well turn to the Old Testament. And I'm also going to end up with 1 Samuel, so you might as well go to the Old Testament, because that's where I'm going to be probably for the rest of the service almost. Proverbs 1:33, but whoso hearken unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Whoso hearken unto me shall dwell safely. You listen to God, you obey God, and I'm going to tell you, you'll have less problems. You know why a lot of teenagers have a lot of problems? They get in that wild crowd that's... I was going out this morning around 5:30 in the morning, I was listening to the radio, and they were talking about some kids burnt down a lumber company or something in their teens, a brother and a sister, and... What you say, that's just, no, they get into mischief, and that's why you get in trouble. Now they're going to be paying thousands of dollars, probably go to maybe a little prison or something like that. Stay out of trouble. Stay away from people that get you in trouble. Bad company puts you in the wrong places. Be a follower of God, not a follower of man. And then look what it says there. Whoso hearken unto me shall dwell safely. You'd be surprised how many problems people have, adults too. We put ourselves in those problems because we live disobedient lives. And shall be quiet from the fear of evil. Now, notice also in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart unto understanding. God wants his children, all of us, to listen to him. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lift up thy voice for understanding, we ought to seek what God wants. God, teach me, God. Show me, God. If thou seekest her, it's talking about wisdom here, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasure, wisdom from God is hid treasure. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. That's why we need to read our Bibles. That's why we need to go to church, hear the word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by he that layeth up sound wisdom for righteousness. He's a buckler to them that walk uprightly. God said, I'll strengthen you and I'll help your life if you'll just walk with me. Do right. Do right. Do right till the sun falls. Keep doing right. I'm in verse 8. He that keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of the saints, then shalt thou understand righteousness. How many see that? And judgment and equity, and yea, every good path. How many see that? Look at verse 11. Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the evil man. I'm going to tell you right now, it's important that you obey God, because when you start obeying God, you say, when those kids that you run with, they start to say, oh no, I'm not getting in that. I'm not saying those words. I'm not doing those things. That's against God. That's against my parents. That's against the Bible. I'm going to tell you, God blesses kids like that. He'll bless your life. Look at Proverbs 3:1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Look at verse 2, kids, for and big kids. For length of what? Days. And what? Long life. And peace shall they add to thee. I'm going to tell you, God will give you added time. If you and I will just follow him and do right, he'll add longevity to our life, and way more than our genes. By the way, I know we all have hereditary things in our life, but I'm going to tell you, my life and your life are all in God's hands. I'm going to live as long as God lets me live. The air that I breathe, he's just lending to me. I owe it all to him. I'm going to tell you right now, look what it says that in verse 2, again, chapter 3. For length of days, long life, and peace shall they add to thee. That's why we always, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them upon thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So thou shalt find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. I'm going to tell you, God will bless your life. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not upon thine own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes, and be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And so God's trying to show the kids, and you and I both, we need to obey him, trust him, follow him, and stay away and avoid evil. And if you do, you'll get a longer life. While you're in Proverbs, turn back. Look at Psalm 78. Psalm 78, verse 1. Give ear, O my... I'm in Psalm 78, 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ear to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable, and I will speak dark sayings of old, which you have heard of and known, and our fathers have told us, and we will not hide them from their children. God wants us to pass down to our children the oracles and truth of God. Adults, are you hearing me? He wants your children to know what thus saith the Lord God. Which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and his strength and his wonderful works he hath done. For he hath established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their what? Yeah, we never spend time with our children in the Word of God. And the kids never see God walking in our... You need to spend time with your children. Spend time with your grandchildren. I have two children. They're grown up. I have five grandchildren. I try to put things still. Yet I try to put. I don't hound them continually, but I take them apart sometimes. And Grandpa says, "Come here. I want to show you this Bible verse. I'm going to try to put something in their heart." And it's my duty as their grandpa not only to pray for them, but to put things in their heart from God's Word. It's your duty to do it. Matter of fact, a lot of times if the grandparents don't do it, the kids don't get nothing, because a lot of times the parents overlook it. And so if the grandparents don't take the lead, that's not meddling. That's a blessing when you're showing them the Word of God. I don't try to run my children's lives, but I do try to put all I can in my children, my grandchildren's scripture in their heart. I was getting a kick out of David William, our boy there. He told you Sunday morning in Sunday school how he didn't get that motorcycle. What he didn't tell you was that he came to Dad first. He usually comes to me and consults me. And I said, well, you just got out of debt. And I said, you don't have a lot of money to put down. I said, why don't you wait till you get a little more money? Put more money down or pay cash. And to be honest with you, I don't know if I can't remember. I might have prayed that he didn't get it. I don't know. I can't remember if I did or not. Because David Richard got him a great deal on a car. He cut his payment in half. He got out of that car that was a lemon. He really was blessed. And he's got a lot better car than what he had. And he can hold his, he was a poochy lip, man. Tammy came and said, Dad, David's really feeling bad. He's pouting. He's just so disappointed. Because he didn't get that motorcycle he wanted to charge. Not against motorcycles. I just think you ought to try to pay some money down or pay it all. I'll tell you, I'm more in paying things in cash now than I've ever been. You can't pay cash. Maybe you ought to think, and I know you can't pay cash for a house, but that's a house is a good investment, but you got to live somewhere. But cars depreciate. But anyways, so he came over that pooch lip. He said, well, he said, I could get this one. Brother Freimeyer's dad's got one. Or the wife's, somewhere in the Freimeyer family, it's either on Kathy's side or Mike's. One of the families got a motorcycle. And I said, well, why don't you get that? You could pay cash for that one. And you could still ride all summer with the rest of the guys, and you can save for next year. He said, well, that's not what I said. Yeah, well, that's all right. You just listen to the old man. Later on, he had a great idea. I think I'll get that bike. He came and said, hey, Dad, I can ride that the rest of the year and have a good time with it and be paid for. I said, that's a great idea, Dave. Seemed like I just told him that a few hours before that, but I think he was so upset, maybe he didn't hear me. But I think they hear me sometimes. Preacher lets himself known pretty much. But I was glad that he didn't. I'm glad he didn't. I hope someday he can get a good one that he wants. But that's just a thing that if you have to go, you're just getting out of debt. And this way now he's not in debt. Amen? And if the Lord wants him to have one, he'll get one. Maybe the Lord don't want him to have one. You ever think sometimes God don't want us to have some things? You know? I was thinking, why don't God give me $5 million? I'd give a lot to God. I could see me right now. I'd get this church squared away. Then I'd say, man, it must be retirement time. Preachers never retire. We just go till the Lord calls us home. But I could see me down in Naples. That's why God ain't going to give me $5 million. Oh, I'd make sure the church had their brand new building and everything paid. I'd say, okay, now you don't need me tomorrow. I gave you all my money. I'm out of here. Me and Rosie's going to Naples. That's why God ain't going to give me $5. You ain't going to get rid of me. Ha, 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 ha. Just pray he takes me on. I'm not leaving. God says he'll give us long life if we just do right. Amen? Let me show you what God's in the. We can't do this in the New Testament. Look in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy. You kids who were bad in the Old Testament, look at Deuteronomy 21. They'll put a little scare in you. They didn't mess around in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 21, verse 18. Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. First four, five books in the Bible. Fifth book in the Bible. If any man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, that when they have chastened him, in other words, even after they've been chastened, spanked, and reprimanded, and will not hearken unto them, in other words, they keep being rebellious. Are you in Deuteronomy 21 with me? Then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him. They don't call time out. They grab him by the nape of his neck. Bring him out unto the elders of the city in the gatest place. And they shall say unto the elders of the city, this our son is a stubborn, rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He's a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of the city shall stone him with stones that he die. Wow. Aren't you glad you live in the New Testament? Hey, kids, aren't you glad that's not in the law no more? I wonder how many kids would obey after that. So shalt thou put away evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear, and they'll fear. That's what's trouble with today now. Kids don't fear. They do wrong, you get your belt, and you whip that little fanny. And don't hit them in the face, and don't brutalize them. But when they do wrong, you whip their fanny. I don't care what they say. I don't care what Dr. Spock and the rest of them say, all those stupid people. The Bible says foolishness is bound in the child, but a rod of correction will soon correct it. And I'm going to tell you right now, you'd be surprised what a rod of correction can do. When I say that, though, I'm talking about really, you should never hit your child when you're mad. See, what happens is this. Christian parents discipline their children the wrong way. What you do is you say, don't do it. Okay, I'm going to hit. Don't. Then you go, ah, I'm going to kill you. Come here, I'm going to kill you. Hello? And we lose it. And we're acting in the flesh. How many know what I'm talking about? I told you 1,000 times. Now I'm going to show you. No, you don't have to do that. Use a couple. Say, now don't do this. And you set down your... Here's the law. When I say something, you have to do it. If you don't, there's going to be such that's going to happen. And if they go so far, then they have to get a spanking. What I used to do with my kids, you ask my kids if I didn't do this. I'm not making this up. You go to David Richard or Tammy Lynn, and they'll tell you. Tammy Lynn got way more. Tammy Lynn always had to have her last. Tammy Lynn was always she always had to have the last stinking word. I feel sorry for David Ballard. Tammy Lynn was so much like her daddy, it's unbelievable. But I'd spank her, and I'd say, I'd have to hit her about 4 times right before she, because she knew she, you know what Tammy said to me a few days? She said, Dad, you know why I never drank and I stayed pure? Why I never did? She says, I was terrified what you do. I'm glad my daughter feared me. But before I would spank my kids, I'd say, I'm going to spank you now, but we're going to pray. And I'd say, dear God, I love my children. I want them to grow up to do well for you. And you tell me in your Bible to correct my children. So, Lord, I'm asking you to help my children understand that I love them and that I want you to work in their life. And then I would hit a couple times on their little fanny. See, that's the seat of affections. Amen. You can get their attention. Amen. And I would they would get a little strap one, two, a couple times, but Grandpa would hit pretty good. Well, that wasn't Grandpa then, and but they got the point that when I said something, they better do it. I didn't have to scream and yell, and you don't have to scream and yell. And if you do it in a godly way, even though they might say they hated it, their life turned out better. And it's amazing how much Tammy spanks her children now. And when they do wrong, it's amazing. Your grandpa tell me I could, you're not going to, And so it passes down. We're to pass down truth to our children. Amen? And, look at that scripture, and all the men of the city shall stone 21 with stones that he should die. I always thought, who in the world would give their kids up? I don't know if I could do that, but it's in the Bible. I don't know. And so, anyways, but it says there that all Israel shall hear and fear, and so. Kids need to have a fear. Just like we need to fear God, they need to have a godly fear for God and for their parents. It's good for their kids. Even though I love my dad beyond measure, I had a fear of my dad. I didn't fear my mama, but I feared my daddy. My poor mama, she'd get mad at me. She'd hit me. I'd say, "Oh, Mom, please don't hurt," because I'd be afraid she hurt, because she kept hurting her hand, because she couldn't hurt me after I got bigger, you know. I'd say, "Mom, I just feel bad you're getting hurt, you know." She didn't make her mad. I wasn't trying to get her. But I said, "Mom, I love you. I don't know what to do. You know, don't hurt your hand. It's not going to hurt me. Do what you want, but it makes me feel bad when you get hurt." You know, it really did. Didn't make her madder, but pick up a club, you know. If we don't raise our kids right, we're living in a world that's so messed up. We need to pass this down. We really need to pass. You that have children, you listen to this gray-haired preacher. You need to teach your children the ways of God. Put it in their heart. The Bible says in Deuteronomy, says put an ornament around their neck. What is that? I didn't have that plan, and I have to quit. Deuteronomy 6, I think it's chapter 6, says to put it around their neck, ornament around their heart, so they always have it close. 6:4 of Deuteronomy. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day," I'm in Deuteronomy 6:6, "that they shall be in thine heart." In verse 7, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." In other words, you ought to be a living testimony in teaching your kids, putting truth in your kids' life all the time. "And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be a frontlet between thine eyes." So all you can think about is the word of God. "And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." And it just keeps telling you, make an impression in your children's heart for the things of God. The greatest impression you can, though, is have a godly life. If you have a godly life, they'll see. Demonstrating is a whole lot better than just saying. A lot of people say, "Don't do what I do, just do what I say." We ought to be living examples of what we say. Then it's already after 8, but let me give you one last one. Number 12. There's hundreds of them, but the promise of the law of sowing and reaping. Galatians chapter 6. Look, let me just give you this last one. Galatians 6. Galatians chapter 6. And look at verse 7. "Be not deceived, God's not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, he shall also reap." There's a law of God, a sowing and reaping. It applies to everything in your life. No matter what it is, it applies to everything in our life about sowing and reaping. "Whatsoever man soweth, he shall also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall also the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit of the Spirit shall reap life everlasting. And because that's truth, let us not be weary in well doing, for in so due season we shall reap if we faint not." Now, I just wanted to say this. What God promises, the law of sowing and reaping, whatever you sow in this life, you're also going to reap it. If you sow mercy, you'll reap mercy. If you sow evil, you'll reap evil. If you sow kindness, you'll reap kindness. If you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. If you sow sparingly, you'll reap. In other words, if the farmer, it's real easy to understand. A farmer has a big bag of seed. If he goes out in the field and he only throws out a couple seeds, is he going to have a big crop? No, he reaps sparingly. But if he puts a whole lot of seed out, just keeps throwing seed at bag after bag, he's sowing bountifully, he's going to have a bigger crop because he put more seed out. He reaps what he sows. Whatever we put out in our life, love, justice, mercy, grace, peace, evil, fleshly, whatever, we're going to reap what we put out. It always comes back. How many understand what I'm trying? We don't get away with it. All comes back. Let me give you two more scriptures. And I promise I'll close. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9 on the sowing and reaping. And then I'll give you one more and I'm going to quit. 2 Corinthians 9. This is talking about in light of giving, but it can be anything. Anything. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 and 7, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. If you're tightwad, don't be surprised, no one ever gives you anything. He that soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give. Not just money, you can give mercy, give justice, give grace, give forgiveness. How many are with me? God's going to meet back to us what we give out of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And then I just wanted to close. I just thought about this scripture. I've always thought this is a great scripture. Jesus said, and look at, and I promise I'll close. Mark chapter 10, and look at verse 29 and 30. Mark chapter 10, verse 29 and 30. I've always thought this was a great verse from the Lord. We think we're really giving a lot for God. Jesus said, answered and said unto them, Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, I'm in Mark 10, verse 29, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's. Sometimes we think we give it all. Jesus is the only one that gave it all. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters, mothers and children, lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, and in the world and to come eternal life. Let me see that. God said, "Now am I going to bless you in this life? I'm going to bless you in eternal life." And so now that you're going to reap in this life, but you're going to reap it in eternity, and you can't outdo. You can't outgive God. You can't outdo God. And that's a law, a promise. It's a promise of God about the law, sowing and reaping. These people say, well, God never does nothing for me. Or God, what have we done for him? It's the law of sowing and reaping. All right, let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we're thankful that we had this time in the Word of God. And I just pray, dear God, that we would take some of these promises and think about them. Oh, there's so many in the Bible. Dear God, I just pray that you'll bless us. Help us to grab hold of these great promises. I pray you'll bless all my children. I love all our babies. Lord, we have little infant babies in this church, and we have 2-year-old and 3-year-olds and 4 and 5 and 6 and 8 and 10 and 9. Lord, kids growing up here. And Lord, I just love every one of the kids. Mandy's graduating this Sunday, and I watched Mandy as a little girl grow up. And Lord, I just love all our kids. And I just pray you'll bless every one of our kids. Help them to get the engrafted word down in their heart. Lord, just help them to grab hold of the eternal things that are so important for them, the things of God. Help us as parents to try to have a desire not only to live them ourselves, but to put them down in our kids' heart. Help our children to embrace these promises of God. Help us as adults to believe the promises of God and to obey them. I pray now you'll bless. If there's anyone here that needs to come and pray tonight, whatever in their heart, pray that you would draw all men unto you and women. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing a verse. You want to come and pray for any reason, you come right now.